The play of these lights of Plato, their modulations and their combinations like luminous music or a composition of signals in a code that even in this late day may be deciphered. It was like orchestration, and that something like a baton gave direction to light 22, upon August 12, 1870, to shine a leading part, remarkable increase of brightness. Number 22 subsided, and the leading part shone out in number 14. It, too, subsided, and number 16 brightened. Perhaps there were definite messages in a Morse-like code. There is a chance for the electricity in somebody's imagination to start crackling. Up to April 1871, the selenographers had recorded 1,600 observations upon the fluctuations of the lights of Plato, and had drawn 37 graphs of individual lights. All graphs and other records were deposited by W. R. Burt in the library of the Royal Astronomical Society, where presumably they are to this day. A Champollion may someday decipher hieroglyphics that may have been flashed from one world to another. 21. Our data indicate that the planets are circulating adjacencies. Almost do we now conceive of a difficulty of the future as being not how to reach the planets, but how to dodge them. Especially do we warn aviators away from that rhinoceros of the skies, Mercury. I have a note somewhere upon one of the wickedest looking horns in existence, sticking out far from Mercury. I think it was Mr. Whitmell who made this observation. I'd like to hear Andrew Barclay's opinion upon that. I'd like to hear Capt. Nobles. If sometimes does the planet Mars almost graze this Earth, as is not told by the great telescopes, which are only millionaires' memorials, or, at least, which reveal but little more than did the little spy glasses used by Burnham and Williams and Beer and Madler, but if periodically the planet Mars comes very close to this Earth, and, if Mars, an island with perhaps no more surface area than has England, but likely enough inhabited, like England. June 19, 1875 Opposition of Mars. Flashes that were seen in the sky upon the 25th of June, 1875, by Charles Gape, of Skull, Norfolk, E.N.G. Mech, 21-488. The editor of Simon's Met. Mag. See Volume 10-116, was interested, and sent Mr. Gape some questions, receiving answers that nothing had appeared in the local newspapers upon the subject, and that nothing could be learned of a display of fireworks, at the time. To Mr. Gape the appearances seemed to be meteoric. The year 1877 Climacteric Opposition of Mars. There were some discoveries. We have at times wondered how astronomers spend their nights. Of course, according to many of his writings upon the subject, Richard Proctor had an excellent knowledge of whist. But in the year 1877, two astronomers looked up at the sky, and one of them discovered the moons of Mars, and the other called attention to lines on Mars, and, if for centuries, the moons of Mars could so remain unknown to all inhabitants of this Earth except, as it were, Dean Swift, why, it is no wonder that we so respectfully heed some of the Dean's other intuitions, and think that there may be Lilliputians, or Brobdingnagians, and other forms not conventionally supposed to be. As to our own fields of data, I have a striking number of notes upon signal-like appearances upon the Moon, in the year 1877, but have notes upon only one occurrence that, in our interests, may relate to Mars. The occurrence is like that of July 31, 1813, and June 19, 1875. September 5, 1877 Opposition of Mars. September 7, 1877 lights appeared in the sky of Bloomington, Indiana. They were supposed to be meteoric. They appeared and disappeared, at intervals of 3 or 4 seconds, darkness for several minutes, then a final flash of light. CSI. America, 37-193. That all luminous objects that are seen in the sky when the planet Venus is nearest may not be Venus, may not be fire balloons. In the Dundee Advertiser, December 22, 1882, it is said that, between 10 and 11 a.m., December 21, at Broughty Ferry, Scotland, a correspondent had seen an unknown luminous body near and a little above the sun. In the Advertiser, December 25, is published a letter from someone who says that this object had been seen at Dundee, also, that quite certainly it was the planet Venus and no other. In Knowledge, 2-489, this story is told by a writer who says that undoubtedly the object was Venus. But, in Knowledge, 3-13, the astronomer J. E. Gore writes that the object could not have been Venus, which upon this date was 1 h 33 m, ra, west of the Sun. The observation is reviewed in L. Astronomy, 1883-109. Here it is said that the position of Mercury accorded better. Reasonably this object could not have been Mercury. Several objections are comprehended in the statement that superior conjunction of Mercury had occurred upon December 16. Upon February 3, 1884, M. Stavert, of the Brussels Observatory, saw, upon the disk of Venus, an extremely brilliant point, Seal E. T. Terra, 5-127. 9 days later, Neeson saw just such a point of light as this, but at a distance from the planet. If no one had ever heard that such things cannot be, one might think that these two observations were upon something that had been seen leaving Venus and had then been seen farther along. Upon the 3rd of July, 1884, a luminous object was seen moving slowly in the sky of Norwood, NY. It had features that suggest the structural, a globe the size of the moon, surrounded by a ring, two dark lines crossing the nucleus, Science Monthly, 2-136. Upon the 26th of July, a luminous globe, size of the moon, was seen at Cologne. It seemed to be moving upward from this earth, then was stationary some minutes, and then continued upward until it disappeared, Nature, 30-360. And in the English Mechanic, 40-130, it is not said that a luminous vessel that had sailed out from Venus, in February, visiting this earth, where it was seen in several places, was seen upon its return to the planet, but it is said that an observer in Rochester, NY, had, upon August 17, seen a brilliant point upon Venus. 22. Explosions over the towns of Barisal, Bengal, if they were aerial explosions, were continuing. As to some of these detonations that were heard in May, 1874, a writer in Nature, 53-197, says that they did seem to come from overhead. For a report upon the Barisal guns, heard between April 28, 1888, and March 1, 1889, CPROC. Asiatic SOC of Bengal, 1889-199. Phenomena at Comary were continuing. The latest date in Roper's list of earthquakes is April 8, 1886, but this list goes on only a few years later. See Knowledge, NS, 6-145. Shock and a rumbling sound at Comary, July 12, 1894. A repetition upon the corresponding date, the next year. In the English Mechanic, 74-155, David Packer says that, upon September 17, 1901, ribbon-like flashes of lightning, which were not ordinary lightning, were seen in the sky, I think of Birmingham, 1 hour before a shock in Scotland. According to other accounts, this shock was in Comary and surrounding regions, London Times, September 19, 1901. Smithson. Missile. Calls, 37 Appendix, p. 71. According to L. Tennyson, quartermaster's clerk, at Fort Klamath, Oregon, at daylight, January 8, 1867, the garrison was startled from sleep by what he supposed to be an earthquake and a sound like thunder. Then came darkness, and the sky was covered with black smoke or clouds. Then ashes, of a brownish color, fell as fast as I ever saw it snow. Half an hour later there was another shock, described as frightful. No one was injured, but the sutler's store was thrown a distance of 90 feet, and the vibrations lasted several minutes. Mr. Tennyson thought that somewhere near Fort Klamath, a volcano had broken loose, because, in the direction of the Klamath Marsh, a dark column of smoke was seen. I can find record of no such volcanic eruption. In a list of quakes, in Oregon, from 1846 to 1916, published in the Bull. Cs. SOC. America, September, 1919, not one is attributed to volcanic eruptions. Mr. W. D. Smith, compiler of the list, says, as to the occurrence at Fort Klamath, if there was an eruption, where was it? He asks whether possibly it could have been in Lassen Peak. But Lassen Peak is in California, and the explosion upon January 8, 1867, was so close to Fort Klamath that almost immediately ashes fell from the sky. The following is of the type of phenomena that might be considered evidence of signaling from some unknown world nearby. Law Nature, 17-126, that, upon June 17, 1881, sounds like cannonading were heard at Gabes, Tunis, and that quaking of the earth was felt, at intervals of 32 seconds, lasting about 6 minutes. July 30, 1883, a somewhat startling experience. Steamship Resolute alone in the Arctic Ocean 6 reports like gunfire. Nature, 53-295. In Nature, 30-19, a correspondent writes that, upon the 3rd of January, 1869, a policeman in Harleton, Cambridgeshire, heard 6 or 7 reports, as if of heavy guns far away. There is no findable record of an earthquake in England upon this date. In the London Times, January 12, 15, 16, 1869, several correspondents write that upon the 9th of January a loud report had been heard and a shock felt at places near Colchester, Essex, about 30 miles from Harleton. One of the correspondents writes that he had heard the sound but had felt no shock. In the London Standard, January 12, the Reverend J.F. Bateman, of South Lopham, Norfolk, writes as to the occurrence upon the 9th, an extraordinary vibration, described variously by my parishioners as being like a gunpowder explosion, a big thunderclap, and a little earthquake, was noticed here this morning about 11:20. In the Morning Post, January 14, it is said that at places about 20 miles from Colchester it was thought that an explosion had occurred, upon the 9th, but, inasmuch as no explosion had been heard of, the disturbance was attributed to an earthquake. Night of January 13, an explosion in the sky, at Brighton, Report BA, 1869-307. In the Standard, January 22, a correspondent writes from Swaffham, Norfolk, that, about 8 p.m., January 15, something of an unknown nature had frightened flocks of sheep, which had burst from their bounds in various places. All these occurrences were in adjoining counties in southeastern England. Something was seen in the sky upon the 13th, and, according to the Chudleigh Weekly Express, January 13, 1869, something was seen in the sky, night of the 10th, at Weston-super-Mare, near Bristol, in southwestern England. It was seen between 9 and 10 o'clock, and is said to have been an extraordinary meteor. 5 hours later were felt 3 shocks said to have been earthquakes.